In the total material energy, Jyoti offers as oblations. Anu, following this principle, translation, the mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should then be invested in the false ego. The false ego should be invested in the total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discrimination. Purport. This verse describes how a yogi can become free from material affection. Because of material attraction, a karmi cannot see himself. Jnanis can discriminate between matter and spirit, but the yogis, the best of whom are the bhakti yogis, want to return home, back to Godhead. The karmis are completely in illusion. The jnanis are neither in illusion nor in positive knowledge, but the yogis, especially the bhakti yogis, are completely on the spiritual platform, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mangcha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma pujaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Thus a devotee's position is secure. A devotee is at once elevated to the spiritual platform. Others, such as jnanis and hatha yogis, can only gradually ascend to the spiritual platform by nullifying their material discrimination on the platform of psychology. Oh, sorry, I didn't pay full attention, but now I'm extremely curious to know what I'm reading, so really, so I have to read it at least again. A devotee is at once elevated to the spiritual platform. Others, such as jnanis and hatha yogis, can only gradually ascend to the spiritual platform by nullifying their material discrimination on the platform of psychology and nullifying the false ego, by which one thinks, I'm this body, a product of matter. One must merge the false ego into the total material energy and merge the total material energy into the supreme energetic. This is the process of becoming free from material attraction. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashkacharya Shatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Garada Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Vikalpam yuhu yachito dhamanas yata vibrame manovaikari kehudvatamayayam yujyanu. The mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should then be invested in the false ego.
The false ego should be invested in the total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discrimination. So, although we want to continue straight away with the third part of this reading from Narada Bhakti Sutra, Purport Text 12 of Sutra 12, this verse might require some further explanation, and therefore we will spend the first 10 minutes, not more, on this subject matter. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that the discrimination between good and bad in the material world is sarva brahma. It's an illusion. It is a mistake to say this is good and this is bad, because the point which is made is that in the material world everything is bad. No question of good or bad. Prabhupada distinguishes between the hot stool and the wet stool. Now, if we say wet stool and dry stool, if we say the dry stool is good because it doesn't smell so aggressively, is this a good statement? No. The dry stool is really not good. It's not that the wet stool, because the wet stool is much worse than the dry stool, therefore all of a sudden the dry stool has become good and the wet bad. This is actually not a very good philosophy. Also, in our own lives, actually this is not necessary to raise this point here. So, to discriminate between good and bad in the relative world of the manifestations by the lower energy of the Lord is not really good. We should see everything in relationship to Krishna. Now, I want to give you an interesting little insight into Prabhupada's glorious preaching. Once he said, a girl asked him, Prabhupada, you say the material energy is not good and not bad, you say it's a lower energy of the Lord, then who is that Lord who made this lower energy? He must be also a lower Lord. So Srila Prabhupada said, see, you are a beautiful lady, a young girl. Just the fact that you pass stool, does this make you a ugly, bad girl? No. This young American intellectual girl was a little bit amazed by this answer, to say the least. So yes, this material energy is a lower energy. It's not the good. There's nothing good in this energy to be found as such, but it comes from Krishna. Just like in the example, the product comes from the human body, and the human body really is not becoming ugly just because of the product. In the same way, Krishna is not diminished in his quality just because he is the source of the energy. In fact, someone who understands how Krishna is behind everything in this material world, for him, the material energy stops to be a hindrance in his devotional service, but in fact, he can nicely advance in Krishna consciousness. Just the fact that we say it's a lower energy does not really mean that we condemn it. In fact, if we can use it in Krishna's service and put it back to into the hands of the Lord, it regains a very useful practice. Now, because we will speak in a minute about Vaishnava etiquette, it's my chance. Hope you forgive me. Krishna Chanda, du musst dir was über den Fuß tun. Das ist schon okay, dass du den Fuß so ausstreckst. Genau, irgendwie das Prabhupada, es geht darum, dass Prabhupada, die respektvolle Persönlichkeit, nicht ein, ist klar, nicht? This is an interesting point. Now here, a tip is given how to give up the discrimination between good and bad. And it is rather psychological, as Prabhupada says in the purport. One should accept good and bad as one unit, that means one, the same thing, and then it should be invested in the mind. In other words, with a philosophical mind, one should understand it's the same. Then the mind, and this means this understanding, should be invested in the false ego. You should give it, because of false ego, you are discriminating between good and bad. Just consider the living entity in the species of the hawk actually finds stool as a very cultural presentation of foodstuffs. This is what he thinks. Now, as a human being, we shudder at the thought of even touching this substance. We get rid of it and we bring it out of sight as soon as possible. So due to a false identification with the body, we are making discriminations between good and bad according to the particular species we are situated in. This is expressed in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says that in any life form whatsoever, the living entity is discriminating between good and bad according to his body, and means his false identification in his mind. So in this yoga process which is preached or which is presented by the Avaduta, first of all the mind has to understand, first we have to practice it on the platform of the mind, here I see good and here I see bad. Then we should give that back to the false ego, give it up, because in the false, only due to false identification I'm making this, and then the false ego should be invested in the total material energy. You can understand, well, this is all the material energy anyways. It's as one philosophy says, the atom theory, I'm not just thinking or remembering it, where one understands everything is a combination of atoms. So with such an understanding, one can give up all discrimination. This is the process of fighting false discrimination. Now, of course, a similar process is used at a time where one gives up his material body. There, by this kind of meditation, actually the elements are given back into the elements of the body are given back into the totality of the material elements. As one progresses from the gross element to the more subtle energy elements, so I can well imagine that the devotees who listen to this, especially after 2 days of festivals, dancing, chanting, being stirred up in the interior of the heart and so on, they just can't really relate to this subject at all. Prabhupada, he makes a very nice observation. He says, Jnanis and Hatha Yogis can only gradually ascend to the spiritual platform by nullifying their material discrimination on the platform of psychology. See, what we just did is psychology and nullifying the false ego by which one thinks I'm this body, a product of matter. But then he says, a devotee's position is secure. It's much better. Because we all know, if you only understand something on the platform of psychology, that means with your mind and with your intelligence, this understanding will leave you immediately if there is a tempting situation or a difficult situation. But a devotee, Prabhupada says, is not like this. He is secure. A devotee is at once elevated to the spiritual platform. So therefore, this kind of analysis is not really necessary for the devotee who sincerely chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and serves Krishna. This point is of great relevance to our lives. See, all of us who come here into this wonderful movement carry with us a heavy load, schweres Gepäck, of mental impressions loaded upon our poor back since time immemorial. There is a huge apparatus of psychological movements up here, which sometimes, when they combine in an unfavorable way, these thoughts can create a dangerous situation for someone on the path of Krishna consciousness. So instead of going into this can of worms, if we may say so, and trying to pull out one worm after the other, which is enjoying the garbage, and being still insecure in the end, having still no guarantee that the material contaminations won't come again, instead of doing things like chakra therapy, that's a thing adopted by the karmis, or some deep psychological talks and so on and so forth. The devotee is actually who has understood the principles of bhakti and knows there should not be karma and jnana in this. He sincerely goes to chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and serving Krishna according to the orders of the spiritual master. In this way, everything is taken care of. Now, only if a devotee is not able to dedicate himself or herself to the processes of devotional service, to these principles, then something might be done what is called counseling. Just as a side note, in our movement, the need is seen to give advices to the young struggling devotees. And therefore, the brahmanas, or those who are a little bit more advanced and they know the philosophy better, are seen as are requested by our movement to become a little bit expert in counseling. Counseling means a devotee will come to you and ask you for advice. Now you could say, well, chant Hare Krishna and the problems will be over. And when you see, he says, I can't. Then you have to go to the sleeves and go into his mind. Maybe put something before the nose and then do it. Now, in order to do so, you must know what you are doing. You must know a little bit about the art of counseling. So if there are older devotees who are interested in knowing some of the principles, Jagadish Maharaj has gone a long way along this line of counseling devotees in Krishna consciousness. He has been very successful in doing so in many occasions, and he has written I believe it's 10 pages or 11 about the art of counseling, how to do this. And anyone who is interested in such a subject matter, you can also be a young devotee. It is from a course which was available to all the devotees. You could either write to Jagadish Maharaj or to me. He has given this to me. It has allowed me to make photocopies for devotees who are interested, so you can find out a little bit about this. It might also help you find out about your own, so to say, hang-ups in Krishna consciousness. But this, as Jagadish Maharaj points out, is not to be mistaken as some mundane psychology. What is done by a devotee who preaches to another devotee in difficulty is to just try to help him see how Krishna is behind everything, and to help him or her see how he can establish his relationship to Krishna, and in this way be elevated to the transcendental or spiritual platform of Krishna consciousness, where the things of the mind are overcome. So today, therefore, we want to understand the last 23 principles which will help us to come to this elevated state of Krishna consciousness, and where we can see and understand Krishna behind everything. We will continue with principle 41. We had 40 yesterday, and actually also 41. Principle 40 was to chant the Lord's name loudly in congregation, that means with everyone together. 41, to smell incense and flowers offered to the deity. You might have seen the pujaris putting the incense on the altar so that it can flow into the audience and giving the flowers to the devotees so that they can smell it by the congregation of devotees. The intention or the justification of this process is to engage also the nose in Krishna's service by smelling with the nose the wonderful fragrance which has become prasad due to being offered to Krishna. We don't only engage the tongue by singing, for instance, or by taking prasadam. We don't only engage the ears, we engage also the nose. That means all five senses in connection to Krishna. Therefore, when you pass the flower around, when the flower comes, don't be shy to smell it. Now, just as a matter of hygienic principle, sometimes we might... it's good and very only it's a sign of gentlemanliness if you don't put your or bury your nose in the flower, especially not when you have schnupfen, a cold, but you can just smell it from the distance. It's good enough, like this, and then pass it on. Also, incense, smell incense. Here on the farm, the pujaris have many incense sticks, which are half burned, so to say, and if one goes to them and asks them for a stick of incense, they usually supply if they have in their supply. So then one can take this incense home and burn it or burn it in the sankirtan van and smell and purify the nose and therefore ultimately the mind. 42, to eat the remnants of food offered to the deity.
This is clear to all of us. 43. To regularly attend the arati offered to the deity as well as special festivals. By coming regularly to the arati, you show your loyalty to Krishna. And by coming to the festivals, you're showing his, your interest. There's a very personal verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which goes like this. O Janardan, please, this is the name of Krishna, please tell us the date of your birthday so that we can celebrate it. Amongst friends who have a very close relationship, you say, my dear so-and-so, I would really like to know the date of your birthday. It's a very intimate relationship. Then the answer comes, yes, it's on such and such date. And then you write down the date. And then when the date is there, the person thinks you have long forgotten him. Hare Krishna. Sisi Rana Madan Mohana Ki. Then you send a gift which comes exactly on the date. This is a very personal practice which is done amongst human beings. So this can, therefore, O Janardan, give us the date of your birthday so that we can celebrate it. This is how the devotee. So these festivals should be celebrated, preferably in the association of other devotees at the lotus feet of the deities, and if not possible due to our service schedule, then at least during our day of service where we are in on Sankirtan or somewhere, spend a few minutes to remember the festive occasion and so on and so forth. This is how you become more close to Krishna. Then to regularly look upon the deity. This is what we do usually do. These are all now, you might have understood, these principles are now in relationship to the deities. Look at the deity and pray before the deity. During our Prabhupada marathon in Berlin, Rohini Sutta Prabhu gave the advice to all the Sankirtan devotees that after the lecture they should all go before Sisi Gonitai, these are our deities in Berlin, and pray for the mercy of Gonitai. And everyone who did so immediately experienced an increase in his book distribution results. It was mystical. So let us look at the deity and drink with our eyes the beauty of the deity. For instance, today it's a moon outfit. Full moon outfit. This is Krishna dresses in white when the moon is white. I hope I don't speculate. Is it a full moon? Yes? In Vrindavan, you see during the Ras Punim night, the deities are all dressed in white. I have a photo present which I can show anyone who's interested there. All the deities are dressed in white and very beautiful also here. Especially our Radha Madan Mohan deities, this has to be said from a devotee of their lordship, they are the most beautiful deities in the world. I know some of you won't agree. That's your good right. You have the good right to disagree on this point and thinking your own, the deities which are in your temple are the most beautiful. It's good if you think so, because you have established a relationship. But when I was very young in Krishna consciousness, the deities saved my life, so can't forget this. Then regularly look upon the deity. If you do so, you will not be attracted by mundane so-called beauty. 45. To offer one's dearmost possessions to the Supreme Lord. That's the heart. 46. To meditate on the Lord's name form pastimes. This is done best in our movement for Krishna consciousness by reading in literatures like the Krishna book, which has been given by Srila Prabhupada especially for the purpose of introducing the name, the pastimes and the form and the qualities of the Lord. You will find many very sweet informations there. And Prabhupada, he said, when he wrote the text for the Klappentext, one says, the I'm not sure, but you know, there is this cover, and in the inside of the cover he wrote, anyone who reads this book will become a devotee. Also, Prabhupada has introduced the Govindam prayers, which we chant every morning before the deities. That's actually mantra upasana, worshipping the Lord with mantra, and which helps us meditate about the name, form and pastimes. You should know what they mean, these Angani, Yasya, Shagalendriya, Vrittimanti and so on. 47. To water the Tulasi plant. This is what we do by serving Tulasi. Tulasi, one gets the blessing of a devotee. The Tulasi is a devotee whereby which one can obtain the mercy of Krishna. 48. To serve the Lord's devotees in general. By serving the Lord's devotees, great service is done and Krishna becomes the friend of anyone who does so. 49. To try to live in Vrindavan or Mathura. This might give rise to a misunderstanding. We here who took birth in the western horizon, so to say, should understand this principle a little bit more. See, in the old Vaishnav culture, it was customary for a devotee to leave the place of his birth and just stay in the holy place for the rest of his life. Therefore, you still will see in Vrindavan many Bengali Vaishnavs who have come from Godadesh and who feel connected to Vrindavan. They stay there. So for us, we have taken birth here, as we said, and we can remember Vrindavan and Mathura from time to time by reading Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Nectar of Devotion, and converting our own place into Vrindavan Mathura. Prabhupada, he has brought up this point by saying to live in a place where Krishna is present, a city like Vrindavan or Mathura or a Krishna temple. Let us give up our karma holes. I think everyone has done so here, but if you are still a guest of Krishna consciousness, this is a devotional principle which can be followed after speaking with the temple authorities. 50s, to relish the topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One tip, Bhagavatam is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Amala Puranam, that means the spotless Purana, but you do have to read it regularly. This is one of the principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you don't do so, you might lose a taste and it might be a little bit more difficult for you to get into it. So don't let too much time go by without at least reading in the Bhagavatam or visiting a Bhagavatam lecture where a verse is read and commented upon. 41. To take all kinds of risks for Krishna. That doesn't mean one should become a hell driver on Sankirtan or to do anything unreasonable, but it also doesn't mean one should shy away from the responsibility of doing service. For instance, to go on Sankirtan is sometimes seen by some devotees as a risk, because you don't really know what will happen on Sankirtan. Maybe you will be praised, but maybe you will be also not be praised on Sankirtan. Maybe many people take literature And maybe it so happens that not so many take. So this kind of risks, within the preaching movement, these kinds of risks should be taken by any sincere devotee. A devotee who stops taking risks for Krishna falls asleep. We need preaching members, not sleeping members. This is, I'm quoting Srila Prabhupada. So take risks for preaching Krishna consciousness. Don't think, oh well, now I have to climb a tree to take a risk for Krishna, or something like this. No, it must be taking place in the preaching movement. We always need a challenge in our life. To always expect the mercy of Krishna, we talked earlier about this principle. 43, to observe ceremonies like Jamashtami, the appearance day of Lord Krishna, and Rama Navami, the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra, with devotees. We also talked on this principle. This helps. Like, don't you all feel, I guess you all feel very tired, which I can see in your eyes. Maybe I'm just seeing you because I'm so tired. Like this, that's also possible. But isn't it, it gives one so much in Krishna consciousness. We might now all need a day where we just put the thoughts in order, put our, you know, and think about the question, where am I now, 1992, 2 days or 3 days or 4 days, depends when you get some peace, after Nityananda's appearance day. What will I change? What has become clear to me? We should put everything in order and think about these things. What are the realizations which I have made, and how will I translate those into my daily life? So these festivals with devotees are important. Then to fully surrender to Krishna, that's also a principle. 55, to observe special regulations like those followed during the month of Kartik, October and November. Now this might be a little bit new for you, but let me just say this much. Any kind of vow which you undertake during this time will bring sublime results. For instance, if you make a special endeavor to chant attentively during this month, you will see it will work. This Kartik vow is very, very powerful. Also, we, for instance, we did the Braj Manda Parikram in Kati. This was so good for Krishna consciousness. Very good to do something special for Krishna. Now, it doesn't mean we should all go to Vrindavan. We can also observe it in our special place. For instance, we might do little things. Even, well, during this time I won't overeat so that I don't have to rest so much. Or we might say, during this time, I'm going to make a special endeavor to be humble and straightforward in my dealings with Vaishnavas, and or any other thing, and it is very good to do so. 56, to mark the body with Vaishnav Tilak, these are clay markings, that's very good, at 12 places of the body. Even if we go on Sankirtan, we should at least make a water tilak. 57. See, tilak means you declare your dependency on Krishna. You are his devotee. This is what it means. 57. To mark the body with the holy names of God. I've personally not made any experience in this, can't speak. I only know that in Vrindavan they sell these wooden stems where the Hare Krishna mantra is there. You and some devotees take and put it in when they have made the tilak. they make a little more and they put it and they stamp it on the body, especially on festival days, maybe on the forehead, that is, and so on. This very nice. Krishna likes it. Just think, Krishna is a person. What do you think if someone comes to you and on his forehead he has your name, Srishtikarta? You would think, well, he really cares for me. I like you very much, Srishtikarta. You think, well, who is this person? Interesting, you know, and so on. So the devotee does this in relationship to Krishna, not with other devotees. That is not mentioned here. Then to accept the remnants of garlands that have been offered to the Supreme Lord. Sometimes devotees think if there is a garland coming from the altar or from Srila Prabhupada, oh, we have to be humble, we have to put it in the corner and forget about it. Because how does it look if we carry a garland around us? Maybe the others would think that we have a very high opinion of our own selves. No, this shouldn't be, this is not a sign of humbleness. We are proudly the garland of Krishna around your neck. Be happy and fight for it if someone wants to steal it. Because it is, anyways, not really. You should be attached to it. This is the point. And wear it. It's a sign of humility to wear what another person has worn. And especially if the garland is got, you should be very, you should be feel a little, if someone puts a garland around yourself, which has not been offered to Krishna, which has been offered to you, then you should feel a little of what's going on. This usually we only do during the initiation ceremony. Then everyone gets a garland and if you're on Braj, or if you're in Vrindavan, everyone of course offers you also a garland. Then, 59, to drink Charanamrita, the water that has washed the lotus feet of the deity. It's standing there. Anyone here, anyone who, do it not now but afterwards. Anyone who drinks this will, by feeling dependence on the mercy of the Lord, then his ein frühzeitiger Tod wird vermieden. Untimely death is avoided. And many other benefits are there. Especially if you get a tulsi leaf, that's especially good because in the on the tulsi all the holy places are residing. Now, so we come to a close. Among these 59 items, 5 are considered so important that they are mentioned again separately, thus completing the 64 items of devotional service. These 5 items are: number 60, associating with devotees. We have discussed these points, so I will just list them. Chanting the holy names of the Lord, that was 61. 62, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. 63, residing at a place of pilgrimage like Mathura. And 64, worshipping the deity with faith and veneration. Whenever I give a public preaching program, I will talk about these 5 principles at the end. Of course, I'm usually explaining them for the understanding of the people. For instance, associating with devotees, you can say immediately. Chanting the holy name of the Lord, that you can explain. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is as it is. Now, residing at a place of pilgrimage like Mathura, I usually say, make an altar in your home and transfer your room, at least one room in your home, into like a place where you are more aware of Krishna, where you have your books standing, where you have maybe a cushion where you sit and perform your reading or your... everything which is offered with love, if it is, I mean, usually the people after a Krishna conscious program have found out that we don't offer meat to God and alcohol and so on. They can see this. So, okay, these are the 64 principles. 64, yes, which bring out the dormant Krishna consciousness which is there. These principles have been given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to elevate us to the highest platform of devotional service. And any devotee who is interested in this list to also have it, yes, how do we do this? You can maybe go to Bhakta Uwe and give him your name and address, and he will, if he finds time today, preferably, then make photocopies. Because if no, or we do it like this, we can do it, give it someone else who will stay here for today. Some, no one? Krishna Chandra, right? Yes, they are a nectar of devotion. We said so. However, I recommend also that the devotees read this list, because this is very easy to understand. Prabhupada expresses points a little different, and sometimes he gives small purports, and then you understand them very fast. Anyway, the easiest is you give your name to Bhakta Uwe, and then you will, and the address, you can, you write it please on the piece of paper, and then he will mail it to you as soon as possible. That's the easiest. So thank you very, very much for for coming to these lectures on this points. Also, most of you will be going today to the respective places of service. Take the flame of Lord Nityananda's mercy in your heart, so that you will be feeling energized during your service, and then make a plan to come to the next great festival, which takes place here, I believe. Well, this has to be found out, still a little flexible, but usually Nishinga Chaturthi, Gopunim is the that's the next festival, which is celebrated here, and Shinga Chaturthi and Janmashtami. Usually Shivishnupad comes, other great devotees are here at that time, and that is also a high point. Nishinga Chaturthi, you will find out by phoning Arjuna Prabhu, who is arranging these festivals. So, Hare Krishna, we can have just two or three quick questions. Yeah.
You talked about Radha Madan Mohan, and I heard there's some precious story how you came here, because you should have thought that has been.
Yes. Well, this story has to. I know that they were in Paris, and they there was a plan to install them in Paris, and I've heard that Srila Prabhupada brought them there, but due to their own sweet will, they ran out of Paris. Means they allowed themselves to be given to the devotees in Germany, and then be installed in Schloss Rettershof. Does anyone know the year? I also don't know it. No, it's long ago, when you were still babies. Couldn't say much more than ga 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 in spiritual life. That's when they came. They have protected us. Without them, there wouldn't be such nice programs here and such nice temples. Without them, we wouldn't sit here. They're very, very nice deities. Yeah.
Connection to this question.
What happened with your voice? So much singing?
In Vrindavan, there on the stage is Madame Radha Maharaja. And is there some connection between, like, the same name and his cousin, also Radha Maharaja?
Yeah, they're the same deities. These deities, Radha Madan Mohan, are the deities of Srila Sanatana Goswami, who is the Sambandha Acharya. That means he preaches. See, each Goswami gives some teaching, and Sanatana Goswami gives the teaching of Sambandha. That means how to establish one's relationship to Krishna. He also has edited Hari Bhakti Vilas. Actually, he has written it. He has written it, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami has added it. And there you will find all kinds of principles how to establish your relationship with Krishna. So this is Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Also, by meditating about Radha Madan Mohan, one loses his attraction to the opposite sex, in whatever body one may happen to be, because the relationship to Krishna is established. So yes, they are Krishna. Now you will, if you want to ask what is the difference between the deities, no difference. Krishna is Krishna. Yeah, Atmatattva is, by saying this, he wants to indicate, I have to say it in Atmatattva Prabhu from our Gurukul in Mayapur said, in the ISKCON deities, all the three three tattvas of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana, that means establishing the relationship, doing service, and that is done to Govinda, and then pure love of Godhead, that's under the care of Gopinath. He said all these three aspects are there in the ISKCON deities. I can only imagine what he means is clear, but the background of his statement is that in our deities, which are installed according to the pure Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada, there you can establish your relationship to Krishna, you can serve them by developing your personal service to Krishna, and you can also serve these deities by developing your love for Krishna. That's why you find that even highly elevated Vaishnavas, they worship these Radha Shyam Sundar deities, for instance, or any deities, because these are very special, being installed by Srila Prabhupada. They are not limited, in other words, in what they can give and bestow to the conditioned soul who worships them. This is what I think he meant. He is very expert in making praises of our movement, Atmatattva. And this is certainly a very, very nice glorification, which has a deep philosophical basis, a great philosophical basis. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How the pure devotee deals with the pains of separation from Krishna. A pure devotee, these pains are not ordinary pains. We had a very interesting discussion on this just yesterday. There is one very great artist amongst the devotees, actually very great artist. And she painted a picture of Srimati Radharani, who suffers pangs of separation from Krishna. And Radharani doesn't look at all like Radharani on this picture. She looks like a girl of this material world who suffers separation. But it's so good. I mean, this picture in itself is so good. So we will just take the Krishna is also in the picture. We will take him out, make a photo for the multivision show. This will then mean a picture on frustration after the desires are not fulfilled. This will be the illustration of this picture. So the devotee, the artist himself or herself, felt that this was would be the best, because she already knew, being a nice devotee, that this is not the way to do it. If you want, you can see it. It's the painting, it ceases. This brought a point, brings a very interesting point there. Once Krishna was painted by a devotee, and he looked very sad. So Prabhupada asked, what does this picture of Krishna mean? He asked this to the devotee. And the devotee said, well, Krishna is suffering from the pain, from the separation of his devotee, Radharani. Oh, said Krishna, said Srila Prabhupada, this is not how Krishna looks when he is in Vipralamba. But we can also use this picture. We will mean this to, this picture will be used to illustrate that when Krishna had a headache. Krishna once made such a leela where he had a headache. Just, you know, to make the leela so that the devotees could serve him and so on. So these feelings of separation are very, very elevated. In these feelings of separation, the pure devotee is actually together with Krishna and experiences great bliss. This is something which cannot be understood with a mundane mind, influenced still by the modes of material nature. So, Hare Krishna, we will come to a close here. Sri Nityananda's appearance day ki jai, C.C. Rana Madana Mohan ki jai, C.C. Prahlad Nisingadev ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol.